Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, May 12th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. In Exodus today, we'll be in chapter 36, starting in verse 8, and this is all about the furnishings of the tabernacle and how the people came together to finish the work that God had instructed them to do. All those who were skilled among the workers made the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, with cherubim woven into them by expert hands. All the curtains were the same size, 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. They joined 5 of the curtains together and did the same with the other 5. Then they made loops of blue material along the edge of the end curtain in one set, and the same was done with the end curtain in the other set. They also made 50 loops in one curtain and 50 loops on the end curtain of the other set, with the loops opposite each other. Then they made 50 gold clasps and used them to fasten the 2 sets of curtains together so that the tabernacle was a unit. They made curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. All 11 curtains were the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. They joined 5 of the curtains into one set and the other 6 into another set. Then they made 50 loops along the edge of the end curtain in one set, and also along the edge of the end curtain in the other set. They made 50 bronze clasps to fasten the tent together as a unit. Then they made for the tent a covering of ram skin dyed red, and over that a covering of the other durable leather. They made upright frames of acacia wood for the tabernacle. Each frame was 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with 2 projections set parallel to each other. They made all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. They made 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle and made 40 silver bases to go under them, 2 bases for each frame, 1 under each projection. For the other side, the north side of the tabernacle, they made 20 frames and 40 silver bases, 2 under each frame. They made 6 frames for the far end, that is, the west end of the tabernacle, and 2 frames were made for the corner of the tabernacle at the far end. At these 2 corners, the frames were double from the bottom all the way up to the top and fitted into a single ring. Both were made alike. So there were 8 frames and 16 silver bases, 2 under each frame. They also made crossbars of acacia wood, 5 for the frames on one side of the tabernacle, 5 for those on the other side, and 5 for the frames on the west at the far end of the tabernacle. They made the center crossbar so that it extended from end to end at the middle of the frames. They overlaid the frames with gold and made gold rings to hold the crossbars. They also overlaid the crossbars with gold. They made the curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, with cherubim woven into it by a skilled worker. They made 4 posts of acacia wood for it and overlaid them with gold. They made gold hooks for them and cast their 4 silver bases. For the entrance to the tent, they made a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer. And they made 5 posts with hooks for them. They overlaid the tops of the post and their bands with gold and made their 5 bases of bronze. Now, as we worked through this passage, you may have been thinking, haven't we heard all this before? And isn't it kind of like architectural notes that no one understands? Well, honestly, having watched the video about the tabernacle on YouTube or wherever that shows kind of a physical representation of what the scripture is saying, it has helped me a lot to visualize this passage. But the one thing that I wanted to point out to you was that the linen curtains had cherubim woven on them. And there's a video on the Bible Project website that talks about the tabernacle being a picture of Eden. Remember at Eden when God said, Adam and Eve, you have to leave the garden? What did he put at the edge of the garden to protect it? He put cherubim. And so this cherubim here is also representative of a guardian guarding the presence of the Lord. Okay, let's move on to Psalm 136. This is another of the Psalms that when I hear it read, I actually want to sing it. And what a beautiful thing that God gives us music to go along with some of these Psalms. So throughout the day, I hope that the Lord will bring this Psalm back to remembrance as the tune sticks in your head. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens, His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, His love endures forever. Who made the great lights, His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, His love endures forever. The moon and the stars to govern the night, His love endures forever. To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, His love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them. His love endures forever. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder, His love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, His love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, His love endures forever. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, His love endures forever. To Him who struck down great kings, His love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, His love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, His love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, His love endures forever, and gave their land as an inheritance. His love endures forever, an inheritance to His servant Israel. His love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever, and freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Now let's move over to the book of 1 Corinthians. Today we're in chapter 7 and we'll be reading verses 1 through 24. We continue today with a conversation about sexual ethics, and we're talking about marriage and then those that are unmarried. And then at the end of this passage for today, you'll hear a phrase that you may have heard before, bought with a price. I want you to think about that terminology, that Jesus Christ has bought us by His blood shed on the cross. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have the authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbeliever leaves, let it be so. The brother or the sister is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. How do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Similarly, the one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I don't know what your takeaway is for today, but I'm going back to verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which says, keeping God's commands is what counts. And so I just pray for us today that we would see God as good and see His love, which endures forever, and that we would respond by living lives of faithfulness before the world. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us. You would help us to do that today. And as we end the podcast, Lord, as we sing your praises together, we pray that your kingdom would come and your glory would be known throughout the world. This is Chris Tomlin's Forever.
Above all things, His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Yeah,
desert storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.